Hello,
Ellie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. Yeah. You look lovely today.
Thank you. How's everything?
Everything is wonderful. We are right now live in the Awakening Together Sanctuary. So everyone is hearing our conversation. And then we're also live on Awakening Together Radio, so there are others hearing our conversation as well. I want to thank you very much for saying yes to this interview. I was just telling them that for about 3 years I've wanted to interview you, and I'm very happy that today I'm getting that opportunity. I even wonder if this won't be my last interview. So you asked me yesterday for some questions. So I sent you some questions, and we can go over those questions in whatever way that you feel to. But what I would like to do is just share one thing with you first. It's kind of an analogy, and the analogy would be of a mountain. With the awakening process or the ripening process, whatever you want to call it, being like a hike up the mountain. And not everybody's ready to hike the mountain, as you know. There's lots of other things to do. But I feel ready to hike the mountain. And I feel like I'm standing at the bottom of the mountain now, having fully made that decision to start the hike. And you are at the top of the mountain. And today I have the opportunity to talk to someone who has already made the hike. And so what I would really like to get out of today is anything that you would share with me and anybody else who's listening who might feel the same way or one day will feel the same way. What I'd really like to get out of this is what do you want to say to somebody who's at the bottom of the mountain who really is going to start up that trail now? What is it that you want to share? What is it that can be most helpful? And that's really the purpose of wanting to talk to you.
Okay. I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Yes, I was looking forward to talk to you and your audience. I went through your questions that you sent me yesterday. I think there are two ways to answer those questions. One is that you can just keep asking those questions and I go ahead and answer the questions. But when I was reflecting upon that, I would notice that it would be also useful if I can just define a baseline in here. And then based on that baseline, you ask these questions. And then your audience can definitely understand the questions and the answers much, much better than without a baseline. I don't know if you agree with that.
I agree with anything that you're going to say.
Okay, wonderful. So the baseline is this. I have made a clip last week about this message. It was about 9 minute message. I don't know if you listened to that or not. I'm just going to brief that in here. And based on that baseline, that space of the playground, right, you know, you may say, we talk and we interact. What I just mentioned is that based on my experience, based on the history of humanity, when a person is born, based on what we have seen, about over 90% of the population are here in this play to chase objects. And in that chasing, experiencing objects. And in those experiences, seeking for happiness and peace and joy. Now, for that to happen, there has to be a hardwired ignorance in their mind from the very, very beginning. That's what's meant to be. So this hard wire is going to work so that you ignore what is the truth, which is right here and right now. So you would not be able to see it. And then go ahead and believe this play, this dream, so much so that you can be able to do so many experiences and take those experiences seriously. Those experiences could be anything, can be relationship, can be power, can be name, fame, you name it, whatever this world can offer, you would go ahead and experience. And seeking for happiness and seeking for peace, because happiness and peace is, joy and peace is our real true nature. But because you are ignoring that, you have to find it somewhere else. Somewhere in the play of form. So that is how it happens. And as of now, as of this moment, you would see over 90%. If I say 90%, I am not exaggerating. Over 90% of the population are not awake. They are in deep sleep, sleepwalking, ignoring the truth moment to moment, and playing. That's what it is. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. It is grace, it is blessing, and that is how it's meant to be for this human being, to just live like that. And every single person who's listening to that, they have to look into their life and see if that's true. Is that what they were always looking for? Like a goal. I want to just achieve something to gain. I have to work hard. I have to be from this point to that point. I have to get and I have to drive and I have to work so hard to get there. That was pretty much the people's life. But there is another category of people. I would say, I just even mentioned that less than 1%. Only less than 1%. That from the very beginning, they are not hardwired like that. Somehow, deep inside, they could care less about objects and experiences. It doesn't interest them. From the very beginning, from age 5 and 6, these people, what they want to know is, the bottom line is just one question they have. And just that one golden question, that has to be answered. And that question is, who am I? And this who am I can be questioned so many different ways. It may be another way. What is the truth? And who am I? These are both the same thing. So what is the truth? Who am I? And what is my relationship to the truth? Am I apart from it? Or am I it? See, this part is the most crucial part. To not only to recognize what is the truth right here and right now, but what is my relationship to this? Am I apart from it? Is there a two-ness in here? Is there a duality here as I feel? Or there is only oneness? And when this happens, when this question is answered, that's it, they're done. Like the freedom, the mind immediately, in other words, truth sets you free. This mind who was seeking for this answer and searching, all of a sudden, completely collapses, completely surrenders. When I say mind, I'm talking about egoic mind. I'm not just talking about thoughts in the mind. The thought in the mind doesn't go anywhere. The egoic mind, that mental character that it was in the mind, would completely recognize what is the truth in here and completely surrenders to that. That, to me, is like a leap. It's like a jump. But it's not this, like, metaphorically. But there is no jump. It's never been. Because there was never been anybody as a person here to begin with. Never been. everything that arises in here is the truth, the light of the truth, the light of existence, would shine upon this body from that moment on. And that's the end of the seek. That's how you know the seek is over. Because there is no more seeking. There is no more looking. So that was that. Now, among those 90% of the category of people, there is a small percentage of them, I mentioned, maybe 3 to 5%. Again, if I'm very, very generous.
Yes.
It's not. It's less than 3%. But let's put it that way. About that percentage of people, 3 to 5%, they somehow get into this experience, they get into the chasing the objects, reach to a point that they recognize that's not it. For sure. And then they go and find get into the category number, this other category, the first percent category. But they, you know, among these people, that which is a lot of people that they contact me, a lot. There has to be three important elements or qualification, if you want to say, has to be there. I mean, I would just put it in three categories to make it easy. Number one, which is the most important thing that has to be in that person, in this path, is that that desire that they have for the truth has to be authentic. Has to be only they are seeking for the truth for the sake of the truth. Not for anything else. Not for the sanctuary. This path is not for the sanctuary. Running away from this plane and try to use this as a sanctuary. It's not that. Because ego likes that. This path is not about how I deal with my problems. How I'm going to deal with people. How I'm going to deal with this chattering mind or my emotions that is going on. And to get rid of them. This path is not about feelings and emotions to begin with. Because the freedom, the liberation of the mind happens when you are free from all of these experiences and emotions and feelings. Anyway. So, this desire has to be authentic. So when I talk to people, I let them talk. I hear them for the first 15, 20 minutes to see if this desire that they're talking about, I want to know who I am or whatever, is that really their own authentic question? Because you can pick up this question, who am I, from every single book. But it's not your question. If it's not your question, then that's not it. Then your desire, this desire that you have is for worldly stuff. Is for, again, experiential things. Because you see things as experience. So in this path also, you are seeking for some sort of an experience. See? And the point is that this path is not about experience. It's not about I am in point A, then I want to get to point B. So what should I do? It's not about that. It's about I am at point A. I'm not going to move from point A. And in point A, I would recognize something here. So the problem is not movement. The problem is not experience. The problem is a lack of knowledge. So we have knowledge problem, not the experience problem. The majority of people that they contact, they think that this path is about experiencing something. Something has to happen here, like some explosion. I have to go within and some kind of exotic experience I should have. And then poof, this ego evaporates. It's not like that. It's not like that. This path is about what, first and foremost, what is the truth, and I'm seeking for the truth for the sake of the truth. That's it. Nothing else. I don't want anything. I don't want to have any specific feelings. I'm not seeking for any specific thoughts in my mind. I'm not seeking for a complete clarity or no thought in my mind either, so that I'll be always in peace, kind of a thing. It's like, in other words, you're shielding your protection, protecting yourself against this world. These are all desires of the ego, which is all about playing. So please try to understand, the most important thing, that desire has to be authentic. So that's number one. Number two, the mind of this being, because your desire is authentic, your mind is mature. Your mind is mature and is capable to recognize when a guru points out to the truth, which is right here, right now. This mind is mature enough to recognize this and not ignore it. In other words, it would recognize what is the subject, what is the truth, and what is the fiction. It sees it clearly. It knows clearly the difference between the subject and the object, and it doesn't get confused. I mean, a person who is programmed to be ignorant, it is confused. It's confused because they don't recognize the subject, they identify with the objects, and then they go and seek for the objects. That's all they see. In other words, in this coin, they only see this side of the coin, which is all objects and experience and form. Okay? A mind which is mature, when you show this mind the other side of the coin, which is emptiness, which is stillness, okay, this mind would recognize the complete fullness in the emptiness. It would recognize, when you point out, it would see it and say, it says, yes, absolutely, positively, this is it. And it would surrender because it is mature. But a mind that is immature, if immature doesn't mean immature in the worldly stuff. You could be a scientist. You can have tons of degrees in different kind of field of science, but not be mature in this path to recognize the ultimate truth that is right here and right now. For the mind that is mature, when this recognition happens, this would be enough. This mind would be fulfilled with this. It's not going to say, oh, this is too ordinary. It's just like, this is empty here. It's boring here. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be, oh my goodness, this is it. This is what I was looking for. And that's how this mind is going to be luminous with this light. Because it would surrender. It would see itself as this. And it would dissolve. Easily. It doesn't need challenge. It's not going to be, I recognize that there is some awareness here. But 1 minute I'm aware, the next minute I am somewhere else. That is not aware. That's not awakening. You don't know. If I bring a 5-year-old child sitting in front of me and just bring their attention to the awareness, they would recognize that. That doesn't mean awakening is happening here. Awakening happens when you recognize yourself as that, as the ultimate, without any doubt, and claim it. And that's how awakening is. And it's a knowledge, it's not an experience. It's just, all of a sudden, this shield, this veil of ignorance drops completely. and you would recognize what was always here. Something that always was here. It never was coming and going. So this space of emptiness is not really empty. It is full. It's full of life. And that is what I am. Without any doubt. Now, the third thing that it's needed here. Now, if you have the first two qualifications, then a clear mind is needed. A clear mind happens when you do meditate. That's why I encourage meditation a lot. Because if you don't have that clarity, if there is always chattering here, you're not able to see what is here. So therefore, if you have these qualifications, you go ahead and do meditation. And that meditation is not going to happen as a chore.
Yes.
It happens naturally. That's what happened to me. I had no guru, I had no teacher, I had nobody around me to teach me that. I knew naturally that in order to find who I am, I have to close the eyes. And I have to go and see what is here. I knew with open eyes I cannot do it, because in open eyes it is always duality. I see myself as this body and I see Regina as that. So there's a duality here. In the midst of this duality, it was difficult to see. Once you wake up, the duality part can be seen and the truth is be seen. So you don't mind whether your eyes are open or closed. But in the path, your eyes need to be closed so that you can be able to see. So in other words, the mind has to get into this state of clarity and quietness. And it's just like a lake. If this lake is so wavy and so much mud and muddy and all that, you can't see what is in there. But when the mud settles, when the lake is quiet, you can see all of a sudden something. Same as here. But if you're not qualified, you don't have the first two qualifications, and then all of a sudden you just sit down and try to meditate for 30 years, concentrating on your breath for 30 years, it's not going to work. What is concentrating on the breath has to do with my knowledge? Nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm answering the question for so many people. Oh, because I know some of these gurus, they say, oh, who's doing meditation? Meditation means you're separated. No, I don't think so. The way Rumi says, it takes a thorn to remove a thorn. So that meditation, I am doing meditation, is a thorn. That means the ego is doing. But it would remove the thorn. It's going to remove the ignorance. So, to me, meditation for me, for my body, for this body and mine, was absolutely positively necessary. And it was happening as a very natural way. It's not that some people call me, oh, I meditate 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night. No, that's a chore. That's a chore. It takes 20 minutes for mine to settle down. So, that is not enough. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. Do I really want to meditate? Do I feel like meditating? If you feel like it, you sit down and meditate. Not because this path is telling you. And plus, this meditation and doing it is not for just stress management. It's for recognition of the truth. For that purpose, you're doing it. You're doing it, and your purpose is, when I close my eyes, my intention is to recognize who am I? And what is here? What is the truth in here? If that is the truth, the definition of the truth, I can easily define now. The truth is that which that is always here. It cannot be coming and going. That which is coming and going, it cannot be truth. So I have to recognize what is the truth in here? And who am I? So, yes, I would absolutely positively encourage meditation. And the kind of meditation also we talk about is very simple. It just close the eyes and just bring the attention that is here in the mind to this witness, to this witnessing, to this awareness, which is aware of everything, is aware of the body, is aware of the mind, is aware of the emotions. That's all there is. Not controlling the mind, not trying to stop the thoughts, not trying to control the emotions. We need to just close the eyes and allow every emotion to arise. And it does. And that's how the purification in the body takes place. Because once emotion arises, for example, sometimes you remember some sad story in your life, that sadness arises. And tears, absolutely tears is going to come very naturally. You let them come up. Any emotion, anger can arise. Whatever emotion, whatever thought can arise. You don't control them. Let them come and go. Let them come and go. You stay as this witness, as this aware existence that is right here and right now. And that makes, and this type of practice would make the mind a little bit tamed. Mind gets familiar a little bit to this space of emptiness. And this mind is not going to be afraid of this space. Because if you've never done meditation, the mind is not used to this. The mind does not accept this space of emptiness as a safe place. So therefore, when the time comes to dive in, to merge into the ultimate, it will not gonna do that. Because to the mind, this is not the place to be trusted. It's not trustworthy. It's not safe. So meditation helps the mind to see this space as home, to recognize this space as ultimate, finally. So I would, that's why I recommend, highly, highly recommend that the mind, your mind needs to be tamed. But the point is that just doing meditation is not enough. Meditation has to be in conjunction with contemplation, yes, at the same time. Contemplation is with the clear mind, with the mature mind. Just see what is here. Because I said many times, I remember when I was having an interview with someone, I mentioned something. Very simple. I said, when your mind gets used to this space of emptiness, this space of emptiness is pointing to the truth right here and right now. And your mind has to be able to see it. Just this sentence. Somebody called me the next day. Somebody contacted me from Australia, a gentleman. I never forget that. He was in his late 70s. He said, I was in this path for 30 years. You said one sentence and that was it. That was it. He woke up. He said, you said this stillness, this emptiness, this silence is pointing to the truth. And that is so true. If your mind is mature, it would get that. Because this mind was going, was ready, was willing to seek for the truth, has done the meditation, so he was so ready, so ripened, so ready to hear the message. So when you hear the message, you are not deaf. You hear it. You hear what she's talking about. But majority of the people who are sitting in these satsangs, I have seen it. There's a guru is talking, 1,000 people sitting. He keeps talking about it. He keeps pointing to the truth. He keeps talking. Have you seen one person, even one out of 1,000, all of a sudden, gets up and say, whoa, yes, absolutely positive, yes. No. You don't see that. Everybody's are sitting in this form of a, you know, worshiping and listening, but not really listening. This ear is deaf. it cannot hear because of the ignorance. Although he's talking about it, he's pointing to the truth constantly. They're not going to hear. So, that. And then this mind, the mind who is mature, a mind who is clear, a mind who is open and clear, is not attached. Is not attached to this play of the dream. Is not taking his action so seriously. He's not seeking for approval. He's not seeking for any particular action to get any specific results. It's not going to be like that. This mind is mature and recognizes something. It would know somehow, it knows this play cannot be it only. It knows that. So if it's not it, then what is the truth? Okay, so with this introduction I gave, I hope people understand it, go deep inside and in the heart and see if that's true. Are you in this category of qualifications that I just mentioned? If that is true only, then take this path. If you are in this, really authentic, then pick this path. Because I have news for you. For someone who is really the truth seeker, absolutely 100% awakening happens. 100%, not 99. But for someone who is not meant to be a truth seeker, it happens to be the object seeker, and it now wants to come to this path so can it feel better? Okay, because such and such guru said that you're gonna be free and in, you know, unattached and this and that looking for that. The chances are very, very, very slim. I'm not gonna say impossible, but because nothing can be impossible. Once in a blue moon, something can happen. but there is absolutely no way, if you don't have this authentic desire for the truth and the maturity of the mind and the clarity of the mind, to be able to see and wake up to who you are. Although who you are, although the true nature is functioning in every single body, in everyone, and in other words, grace is for everyone. And if there's no one person more than the other. If somebody wakes up, doesn't mean that's more aware than the other. It's not like that.
Got it.
Their existence is right here for everyone. Everyone is that. But just because you don't know who you are, that doesn't mean this is not functioning. It is functioning. So if you are authentic to yourself and say, you know what, yes, I was always the object seeker. I was always seeking something in this world. I was always one looking for experiences. Then if I want peace, if I want happiness, if I want, peace of heart, there are so many ways. There are so many techniques. You can learn so many techniques of meditation, yoga, walking in the nature, interacting with nice people and, you know, awake people, or even some people who are very in tune with themselves. That helps you to just, you know, improve this light, or try to promote the light within yourself. And see, one thing I said to someone that really hit home, I said, you know what, if you cannot be the awareness, the least you can do is be aware. Be aware. It does the same result. It does pretty much the same. But if you're not aware, and seeking for the object and not looking for the truth, then there is misery, of course. Of course. There's no question. But if you just accept that and say, you know what, I am, this is what I am, this is what I'm looking for, but I'm just going to be a little bit more aware. And when I say try to be more aware, yes, you have to try to be more aware with the mind, with the egoic mind. Ego, because ego is functioning in there. How else you can be aware? So you have to use your egoic mind to be a little bit more aware, more conscious in your actions. And that's about it.
All right, I have one question.
Okay.
You used a word, and I suspect that your use of the word is different than mine has always been, so I want to see if I'm correct. You talked about contemplation as well as meditation.
Mm.
What I sensed, tell me if I'm correct or wrong, what I sensed is by contemplation, you are referring to during meditation, noticing that or this, and keeping attention there.
Yes, absolutely. What is here? What is truth? What is the truth? Who am I? I mean, these are contemplation.
Yes.
During meditation, you can do it, and also during your life, you can do it constantly.
Yes.
You know, for example, I give you a very simple example. We do experiences every day, thousands of experiences, right?
Right.
But in the midst of any experience, especially the one that are tragic, especially those that the awakening could happen accidentally, because this life becomes so such a nightmare. That imagine, like, you know, when sometimes you're asleep and you have a nightmare and you wake up all of a sudden in sweat and you say, oh my goodness, thank goodness this was a nightmare. It's the same thing in here. Because this play is a dream. You don't know that if you don't wake up. You see this as reality. This is as unreal as the time that you go to sleep at night. Exactly, they are the same. Exact. There's no difference. But in the midst of these experiences, if you could capture yourself as who you are, you wake up. But the point is, a person who is aware can capture herself, not unaware. If you are constantly contemplating about who you are and what you are, and where you are. These are all good questions. Where am I? Who am I? Where am I? What am I? These three questions constantly should be in your heart. And in that midst of that nightmare, simply ask yourself, who am I? Who am I in the midst of this? And then, yes, it can happen. Absolutely. Absolutely it can happen. And in each body is so unique. There is no two bodies identical waking up. Because this divine that I am experiencing does not want copy. It likes variety.
I understand.
Okay, see that? Me about my awakening. I said, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. Go and listen to my interviews. It says in there. I'm not going to repeat. Because my awakening has nothing to do with yours.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, what does that have to do with you? You're completely coming in a different kind of a background and a history and whatever, conditioning in the body of yours. And the way it's going to wake up is completely unique. As if nobody else has been ever awakened. That's how it's going to be. It's going to be so different. It's the same truth. Everybody end up with the same exact truth. End up the same exact point.
Mm-hmm.
But in so many variety of ways. 7 billion different ways it can happen. But so far it didn't. And it wasn't meant to be. It is not meant to be. For majority of the population, as of this moment I'm talking about.
I understand.
As of this moment that we're talking about. Never, it's not meant to be. So if it's not, then you don't come just because this is so, this is a trend now, nowadays. The path of spirituality. Now I am away from object. Now I am spiritual. If you are an experience seeker, I have news for you. In the path of spirituality, also you are looking for experience. So that's why you're not going to wake up. See? That's why. Because they are looking for experience. And most of these gurus, unfortunately, I see that, they give you this promise, per se. Okay, you are here in this kind of experience. Let me show you how to get from this point to that kind of a point, that point. So in other words, you have this experience, I help you to get to that experience. Not going to happen. Impossible. That's impossible. And the guru who says that if you are, your desire, if it's not desire, your desire is not strong enough, if you don't have burning desire, I'm going to help you to increase your desire, that's another wrong thing. Do not listen to that either. This desire has to be either it's in you or it's not. You cannot make it bigger and higher and more. It's not going to be like that. Impossible. Another thing, this maturity of the mind, either you have it to born with, okay, or you don't. You cannot do meditation to make your mind more mature. Meditation just quiets the mind. You hear me? It just quiets the mind so you can see. But it doesn't make your mind more mature. Maturity is the mind, is you have to be born with it. That's it. So see, this is good news for so many people. The people that I know, some people are in your audience that are in this category. They have been always a seeker for the truth. They have been always, and they have a very mature mind. So that if somebody just points out to them, they catch it. I mean, during these past few years, it happened to me. I interacted with so many people, and easy, the ones that were qualified, they woke up, even over the Skype interview, they didn't have to come here. I don't have to even invite them to come here. It's not needed, because you're ready, ripened. How can I say? It's not raw. People are raw. Raw means they are not ready. The readiness is not there. This readiness I'm talking about, this desire, this burning desire to know the truth is not there. You know? They want this. This is like part of their, you know, list, for example. I want this. Oh, also spirituality at the end. This should be the first thing and only thing you want. Nothing else but this. But this is not easy. Even for the people who are qualified, it's not easy. For me, it was because I was alone. It was difficult. It was difficult. So, and that's why Rumi says, I say it in Persian, he says, راه عشق است این راه حمام نیست. This is the path of the truth, path of love. It is not path of going to the taking a shower. That's what he says.
That's funny. Can I ask another question?
No.
All right. You have said that it was difficult. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can say more about what was difficult? What was difficult?
The seeing means opening up. That inner seeing has to open up. And to be able to see, acknowledge, and merge. It needs courage.
Courage.
And the courage, if you have that burning desire, you're going to have the courage. But if you don't have the burning desire, you're not going to have the courage.
Thank you.
It needs the courage. Because this is the depth of the ego. This recognition, it would negate what is impure in here. Impurity, faked drops for good. For good. And what is left in here is truth, the only truth, and nothing but that.
Wow. I've promised everybody 90 minutes, but in 45 minutes, you've given me what I want.
Absolutely. I don't want to make it short because I don't want to go dance around this. Dancing around that, every single person can sit down and talk about the truth. I don't want to talk about the truth.
I didn't want that.
I don't want to shower my knowledge to your head. I don't want to do that. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help your viewers. But this 45 minutes, if they listen with their heart, it's going to hit home. For a fact, it's going to hit home. So you need to be honest to yourself. If you are not qualified, don't pick this path. This path is miserable if you are not qualified.
No.
And you're going to waste your time and energy and effort on something that is not for you. Okay?
Yeah, and you know, we have been listening to you lately, and so this question is now for others, not my question. You've already answered my questions. Thank you for what you've given me. But now for my friends. Some friends have listened to you, and also another person that we've been listening to recently named Michael Langford, and you, the two of you really, I think, teach the same thing. And both of you talk about how rare this is. And, of course, you say, if you're not ready, this path is not for you. And some friends feel very disappointed. You know.
Absolutely. It's a disappointment. Yeah. So what? Accept it. Accept that. Why are you banging yourself against the wall for something is not even for you? If it's not meant to be for you from beginning, you need to accept that. Acceptance, it brings you also freedom. That's another kind of freedom. Because we ultimately we're looking for freedom. Freedom can gain so many different ways, not just one way. Freedom means I accept what I'm here for. And I'm going to just make the best out of that. That is freedom.
So put in another way, people are, in effect, delaying their happiness by imagining that they have to have this prize instead of just being happy right here, right now.
Yes, because how can I say, this prize that you're talking about, this gem, is valuable only with capital O-N-L-Y for the people who are the truth seekers.
And I think another thing I'm hearing right now, again, from my friends is, I think that there's an idea that gets in the mind that, and I know you're not saying this, but I think there's an idea that gets in the mind that when we say 1% of the people are ready, the idea is they're better than me.
No. This is not what my intention was. Absolutely not. Let me make a simple example. This is a real life example. Okay. Let's go back. When my daughter was in middle school, she had to find an instrument to play. So she loved violin, so she started playing violin. And she played beautifully. Okay? When it came to my son, who is 5 years younger, he based on what his sister did and all that, and he chose also violin. Okay. But he didn't have the talent. Every day he came from the school, she said, "I hate violin. I hate violin." Every day. Every day. So, you know what? At the end of the week, I said, "You know, honey, you're not playing violin. End of that. Put the violin in the case." I brought it back to the store. This was a rental violin. It's gone. If you're not violinist, if you're not interested in playing the violin, no matter how much, if you don't have the talent for it, no matter how much you try, how much effort you put in, you're not going to be a violinist. So accept that. We need to accept that. This acceptance is liberation. People don't understand what I'm talking about. Accepting what is liberation. Because I'm going to repeat myself. If you are not meant to be the truth seeker, when somebody points out to you the truth, your mind is not mature enough to recognize it. So therefore, it would ignore it again. Mm-hmm. It would bounce back as an ego, and it functions in the world as an ego. And seeking again.
And there's not a thing you can do about it.
No.
Right.
You cannot do anything about that. But if your mind is mature and ready, and your desire is for the truth only, that it's enough if somebody just point out. It happened to me. I have experience with a 23-year-old girl from a long distance. She woke up the moment I just point out to the truth. She woke up right there and there. And she's awake. I talk to her as a regular basis. She's becoming a doctor in Hungary. She's Iranian. She came from Iran to the Hungary for her education. And she found me and we interact. This is about almost like 3.5 years ago. She woke up only 23 years old. Never done any meditation. Never done any practices. Never. Just when she called me, she says, "Just help me to know who I am. I don't know who I am. Help me out." This is an authentic question. This is all she wants to know, what is the truth. Okay? This is odd. You don't get that. Out of thousands of people you contact, there's only one. You know, you ask a typical person. I asked my family, my mom, the people that were so close to me. I asked my mom one time, I said, "Did you, when you were a child or when you were young, did you ever have this question of who I am?" She said, "No. Never dawned to me."
Well, and I...
She never... Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and I think for me it was a different question, but you said it's the same question. But the question that burns in me is... The way I would word it is, what is the absolute truth? But what that means is the one truth that's true for everyone. Whether
yes. Yes.
Yes.
But, yeah, what is the absolute truth? But what is the absolute truth can be also, the root of it has to be who I am.
Yes.
Who am I? The root of it. Because absolute truth and you are not two, they're one.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
But according to the mind, mind also likes to know what is the truth. Mind is very curious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mind wants to know everything. Okay, what is this? What is that? They investigate and then, but mind is also interested, can also be interested in what is true. But what I'm talking about is, what is the truth and who am I? Mm-hmm. That this combination is a very potent.
Yes.
My question was always, who am I? Because when I was alone, there was always empty here. I felt myself as empty. Okay? That scared me. Because I was not awake. You see, I was feeling this emptiness, space. I felt myself as in space. But it was scary. Because my mind was not trained, my mind was not mature to capture the truth in the midst of the space. It's not, here is not just the space, it's not empty, it's full. But my mind was not mature enough to see the fullness until I grew up and then I went to this path. Once I trained the mind, as with meditation again and contemplation, the mind was able to see in the midst of this emptiness what is the real. Not only see it, but capture and identify that. Capture the true identity. See, that by itself happened, but it's not accidental happened, because I was after this, I was seeking for this. All my life I was seeking. See, so, you know, again, for those people who have that, this background, I have good news. You're going to wake up. You're going to wake up. Because if somebody points out to you, you know, what I do for with people, I do some, we go deep meditation together. And then we, like, metaphorically, we dive in to this depth. And I start asking questions. I say, okay, in this midst of this emptiness, what it is, what do you see? This should be, and then, you know, I just keep asking questions, and then they would see what is here. And then, in that point, the guru is very valuable. The guru helps you to grab it, not to let go of it anymore, to just identify. Yeah, just grab and identify with what is the truth in here. Okay? And then when you come back out of meditation, you talk to me as the source, not as a person anymore. Because it was clarified down in right there and there that this person doesn't exist. Never existed. You clarify that. It's a, you see it, not I am telling you.
I understand.
You have to be able to see. Seeing is opening up. Opening your, that metaphorically, inner eyes open. Metaphorically I'm talking about. There is no inner eye.
Yeah.
That inner not seeing all of a sudden invokes. I would help that inner seeing to invoke. So you can see. Okay? And then once you see, you, there is no way you can fall back to sleep. If you wake up correctly to who you are, there is no way you can fall back to sleep. Impossible. I mean, I see people call me and they say, oh, yeah, 1 minute I am aware of my awareness, and then the next minute I am not. And then I am in and out. I mean, no, this is not awakening. I'm sorry. This is not, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. When you wake up, you wake up. Just like a light, you switch on or off. Either you're on or off. In between, we don't have in between. You cannot say 1 minute I am on, 1 minute I'm off. And you will never go off. There's no way you can go off. How could you go off? Even if you try to go off, you can't go off. This doesn't go off. This is always here, always, ever-present, self-shining, unconcerned. And so simple, so here, so obvious. It is so obvious. Sometimes because something is so obvious, people can go blind completely.
Right. Right. I was just reminded of something I think you said to Rick Archer when you were talking about maturity, and you had the story of if you had like a young boy, I don't know if you said 4 or 7 or what, but you had a huge diamond in one hand and an ice cream cone in the other. Do you want to finish telling your own story, or do you want me to tell it?
No, you say it.
All right. That the young boy, he wouldn't understand the value of the diamond, so he would want the ice cream. But then, you know, metaphorically speaking, if you have an older person, maybe 35, 42, someone who has grown and has come to understand the value of the diamond, and you make the same offer, that person would easily take the diamond. And that I'm understanding is the difference between the mature and the immature mind. In fact, the immature mind is still going to seek the objects.
Yes. And the feelings and the experience.
Yes.
And they think that it has to be a specific state of mind I should have. That my mind has to quiet down, nothing should come and go in the mind. Or my emotion has to be always, I'm always in peace. That's not freedom. Freedom is you're free from all that. Not try to maintain any specific state of mind or emotion and a feeling. It's not like that. It doesn't matter anymore what feeling and emotion and sensation or whatever is happening in the body. It doesn't matter. This body can get sick any moment. What does that have to do with me?
I love what you just said.
I know. See that? Yeah. It's just I know myself as ultimate.
Yes.
Truth. That is here. This body is in my presence. It's in my presence right now. I am using the body to be able to talk. Hmm. The body talks. The body moves. I'm using the body to do that all. But I am not the body for a fact. For a fact.
Yeah.
So the body can drop this moment. What does that have to do with me? Where am I going? Nowhere.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing I've often heard people say is that you're not enlightened or you're not awake if the body is sick. That if you were enlightened or awake, the body would be perfectly healthy. And what I hear you saying is the two have nothing to do with each other.
Nothing to do with each other. Although you feel it, if the body is sick, of course you feel it. You don't become numb or you don't, you know, you feel the body, you feel the pain, you feel whatever, you take care of it. You go to any doctor, you take care of it. But you're not going to identify with it. And because there is no identification, your way of handling it is much more mature, is much more conscious, without any attachment. Because you're not going to have any attachment. You don't have attachment to anything. You drop all your attachment all of a sudden. Nothing sticks to me right now. I mean, right now as who I am, nothing is sticking to me. Nothing.
Yeah, and I can see how any confusion about what to do, you know, all the different choices, all the fears, that would all come from identification. So without the identification, there would be clarity about what to do with whatever illness may arise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And whatever it arises, you know that you can handle it.
Yeah.
Because what you are is independent from that. You see, liberation is not... It's a liberation from all this. Anything can come on my way. It doesn't matter. I am free from it. That doesn't mean I wouldn't handle it. It's not that. Anything comes on my way, I would handle it. But I am free from it at the same time.
Yes.
So experiences does not faze me. It doesn't matter anymore what kind of experience it is. It is what it is. And then the roles of the identification, they all drop. Like this past weekend, it was a Mother's Day. Yes, of course, Mother's Day, kids come in and all that. But deep down, I know what is the other side of the coin. You see, I don't forget that. This side of the coin, yes, I play the role of the mother. Of course. There's nothing wrong with that. But I would see the totality, not just one side. Not just the form. Just like, for example, if I ask you, like in the room that you are right now, most of the people who are ignoring themselves constantly, their attention is on the objects. Okay, there's a chair here, there's this thing here, there's that dance here, there's this computer here. But they don't pay attention to the space that is containing all these objects, first of all. That is very close to you. That space is very, very close to you. But it's not you. Okay? You're not the space either. That's another misunderstanding of people. They think that they are the space. The space, you are aware of this space. You are prior to this space. You cannot be the space. So, the recognition of yourself as what you are, as an existence that is here, that is embracing this all, that is the ultimate. That's the ultimate awakening. And the mind, you know that? The mind sets free because this mind, this poor mind, was constantly looking.
Yeah.
Constantly was looking. It's like looking. But the point is that a mature mind knows what it wants.
Hmm.
How can I say it? It knows. For example, let me make you a simple example. And this is a word example. Let's say you lost your phone.
Hmm.
Okay? And then you're looking, and I said, I show it to you. I show you this. I said, is that it? You said, no. That's not it. I'm looking for a phone, right? Is that it?
No. That's not it. That's not what I want.
Is that this flower? No, I show you every single thing. You know it's not it.
Yeah.
You know that's not it. But the moment you find this, you say, yes. Absolutely this is it. Right? And that's it. You seek, you stop. Right? You're not going to seek anymore once you find it. But if you don't know what you want,
Then the seeking machine just runs and runs and runs and runs in a loop.
Then I show you this, you say, oh, let me see. Maybe it's this. Let me see. You don't know. Because you don't know what you're looking for.
I know you used to be a teacher, and you are so good. I mean, you're so good with your examples. They're so clear. That's the teacher.
I was a math teacher. So this is the thing. In this path, you have to know what you're looking for.
Yes.
What it is that I want, what I'm looking for. So that when I see it, I don't miss it. I don't misunderstand other stuff for what is the truth.
Yes.
See, Rumi, this reminds me of this message of Rumi. It says, در خمها گشادم ز هزار می چشیدم چو شراب سرکش تو به لب و سرم نیامد. It says, in this world, I went to every single jar of wine. I drank from every single of those jars. Tasted different tastes of these wines. Variety of them. Thousands of them. But none of them affected on me the way the truth hit me. The only truth made me
intoxicated.
Intoxicated.
Yes.
And you get intoxicated. You are constantly intoxicated with what is the truth in here.
Well, and you said something a moment ago that dawned on me, why the question, what is the truth and who am I, have to go together. Because if you only are saying what is the truth, you could mistake it for something else.
Yeah, because then you would be something like me and the truth. Like
yeah.
You stay in the duality. You still stay in the duality constantly.
And the eyes are out. The eyes are out a little bit. Right?
Absolutely. Even if somebody says, oh, I know there's an awareness. I know there's awareness here. I recognize it. All of that. This is still duality. You don't know that you are one with it. And the reason you don't know is because you are not mature enough to know. Your mind is not mature enough to recognize this as who you are. And sometimes the mind says, oh, I'm not qualified. Maybe I'm not qualified to be the ultimate. You know, this mind has to be pure. Also, it is full of tricks. It's full of impurity. It is not be able to see. Again, this purity has to be part of you. It's not something that you have to work on it.
I understand.
You can't work on it. You cannot work on yourself. If this is not a religion. You know, religion says, okay, do this, be nice, be, you know, be nice to everybody, kind, you know, that, all that. Religion talks about purity, talks about, you know, making this ego, this person, ego, a better person. Okay? This path is not about that. It's not about making this person better. It's not like that. Is this path is about you already are pure and complete. You don't need to do anything to fix yourself. But you have to recognize yourself as that. And that recognition needs, again, maturity. And true burning desire to know. True burning desire to die into this light of existence.
Yes. I'm certain this will be my last interview. I can't imagine having another one now.
I hope it is helpful for both groups of people that, again, I put it into the categories. I shouldn't categorize people, but to, in order to see things better, we did that so that you don't get confused again.
Well, I think I hear you. I mean, I feel that I hear you. Again, for anyone who is not ready, it seems to me that if you continue to try to go for something that you just aren't ready for, you're only going to suffer. You're probably continually telling yourself what a loser you are, what a failure you are. That can't add to any happiness. And if I can just use, some words, God is dancing all of us, and if God is dancing some to awaken, beautiful. But if God is dancing some others to dance in a certain way, why not let God dance you the way God wants to dance you? Why fight it?
Absolutely.
And in that, there's no less than.
Who's fighting? And who's the one who's fighting? The ego.
Ego. So you strengthen the ego by resisting.
Ego. Yeah, resisting. Resisting this dance.
Yes.
Resisting this ignorance. When I say the word of ignorance, I hope it's not a bad word. I know people don't take it wrong. Ignorance means ignoring yourself,
yeah.
Breath to breath. That's what it is. And pretending to be this person. People do it all the time. So if you are the ultimate, regardless of whether you know it or not know it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But that knowledge only is valuable for the truth seekers, but is not valuable for the experience seekers anyway. So why waste your time?
Yeah. You know, in the Bible, one of the Beatitudes that people often have trouble with is where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And when I read "Blessed are the poor in spirit," the way that communicated in my mind was, even if you have no idea who you are, even if you have no idea what the truth is, it is still true for you, and so you are still blessed.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So set yourself free.
Well, we did go a little longer than the 45 minutes. I don't know. Does anybody else have a question you want me to ask Ellie while she's here? Because, you know what? I don't know that she'll come back. Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. But it is a good time to ask your questions. Ellie, they have the ability to put their hand up even, and I can give them the mic and they can talk to you. Here is a question. All right. This is from Hank. How does one know if he is a truth seeker? And have I answered my own question by asking the question?
The answer is you know.
Yeah.
The answer is you know. You have to go within. You have to go within. Just in the silence. Go for a nice walk. Just listen to your heart. Your heart, your gut feeling is tells you the truth.
Yeah, and in fact, I think that's another wonderful summary of what you are saying, a summary that can apply to all people, which is follow your heart. Find your heart and follow your heart. So if your heart is taking you off in another direction, that's still perfect. You follow that heart. You go where that heart goes. If the heart is taking you to go within, then you follow your heart. But the one rule that applies to 100% of the people is follow your heart. Find and follow that.
Absolutely. Yes.
Do we have another question? Just giving them a moment because some of them prefer to type the question. So in case they're sitting there typing, I don't want to say goodbye too quickly and then have the question appear. Okay, so here is another question. So this is from Kathy. So then, how does practice play into this? Or do you mean, Kathy, like what is the role of practice, spiritual practice? Yes. What is the role of spiritual practice?
I think we answered this question. Because practice is valuable if and only if the first two categories that we talked about, the burning desire for the truth is authentic and the mind, the egoic mind, is mature. Then the practice comes to the picture. Okay? But if you don't have the first two qualifications, no matter how much you practice and how many years you practice, it's not going to work. I have a very good sample I give you. There was a gentleman who contacted me. He was a psychiatrist. And he was in this path for 30 years. Okay? He called me from India. Okay? He went to one of these ashrams and doing some sort of a selfless service in there. He's older, like a senior citizen, American man. He wrote to me, he said, I was in this path for 30 years, meditating, practicing all my life. All my life. I have reached to the level of peace, okay, and happiness, which was great. But, see that but, when so-and-so guru in India says, I am that, I don't quite understand what is I am that. Okay? Now, I was happy for this gentleman. He said, and it's okay. He said, and it is okay for me. Even if I don't understand that. This is a beautiful behavior. This is a mature behavior. Saying, okay, I did my part for 30 years. He never been married. All his life was in this path. He did all these practices. It wasn't meant to be for him. Okay? And then all he was looking it was a peace, again, experience of peace, which he got, and experience of happiness. He got that. Okay? And it doesn't matter for me anymore. Okay? So that is pretty much my message. If you are in that situation, then just accept. It doesn't need 30 years of practice for you to recognize that. Don't waste your 30 years of life doing all these idiotic, unnecessary practices, okay, if it's not even meant to be for you. Because try to understand, after 30 years, if you don't recognize that I am that, then what did you recognize? The whole path is who I am. Who am I? And what is the truth? I am that. Yes, I am that. What else I can be? Of course I am that. If you never this never happened to you, then accept that. So I hope I answered the question. Practice is useful only if you are qualified. If it's not, then it's only a stress management, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. You want to focus on meditation, calm down and slow down the mind, you know, feel better, blah, 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 blah. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's all.
All right, let's see. I think there was another question. I thought I saw a question after Kathy's, but the board is kind of... No, maybe I didn't. Oh, well, here is a comment. I want to ask you how you feel about this comment. She says, I was told, as long as you're a seeker, you'll never be a finder.
As long as you're a seeker, you'll never be finding. I don't know what they're talking about. Seeker, it depends what kind of a seeker we're talking about. If you're a seeker to seek any specific state of mind and object, and again, object seeker. If you're a seeker for a specific experiential thing in this path, okay, yes, you never find it because this path is not experience. It's not about experience. If you're seeking for the experience, yes, you never find it. Even if you find it, you're going to lose it. Because the experience is not the ultimate truth. People have a lot of experience. I get people constantly, they call me, they have all the body experiences. So what does that have to do with them?
Yeah.
Then you ask them who you are, they still they don't know.
Yeah.
You know? So it depends what it is that you're seeking. If you're seeking for the truth, I said that one time. Who is the seeker? The ego. The ego in the mind is a seeker. But that seeker, when it recognizes the truth, the seeker dissolves, disappears in this path. So yes, you start as an ego, okay, to seek for the truth. But the ego vanishes in this path.
So the seeking ends when the truth is found.
Exactly.
Until then, the seeking, if you're a truth seeker, the seeking is natural. You wouldn't be able to stop it, I wouldn't think.
Exactly. But that is also ego, the mind is seeking. Because the truth is here. Truth doesn't know. The truth doesn't have to see. The truth is you are what you are. The truth knows who the truth is. What doesn't know is the ego doesn't know. The ego, this me in the thought, me, mental me, in the thought, doesn't know that what is the truth.
Got it.
So that's why it's seeking. Okay. But once the clarity, once the truth reveals itself, you know, illuminates here, the seeker dissolves. Because the seeker and the source are not two things, they're one, actually. You see, the seeker is a form that arose from who I am, okay, so that it would find myself. In other words, I as a truth, okay, create this artificial me in my head so I could seek for myself, okay, it's very funny to explain. And then all of a sudden, I come back to myself and I notice that was fake. That was never real. And I am real.
But the seeker was the mechanism that called you back to yourself.
Yes, it's just a mechanism.
Yes.
It was a fake, artificial. It's like an artificial mechanism.
Yes.
So that I can find myself.
Yes. Like a homing device, sort of.
Right. Some sort of a device. Yes, that's a good word. A nice device. But that device was not reality. It was just the form. Just the form. Just like any other thoughts that comes in the head. And me thoughts is also one of them. But that is a hardwired. It is hardwired. It is not so easy come and go. That thing is so hardwired. So therefore, in this path, all of a sudden, if this me in the mind is mature enough, okay, it would dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, if it's really hard-wired and the veil is very thick, okay, that ignorance is so thick that has to just be like that and just be like that and experience this world as a person, as a being, that needs to be accepted.
Well, you know, an image just popped up into my mind, and I'm not a computer programmer, so this may be a very poor image, but the image was that the ego is like a computer program that built somewhere in it at some point has a self-destruct mechanism. And
right.
And at the point when that self-destruct mechanism is supposed to happen, then, you know, the seeker really kicks in, and it's like going towards the self-destruct so that it can happen. But if the other parts of the program are still active, and if it's not time for the self-destruct, you can't make the self-destruct. The program has to run itself out.
Absolutely. And for some bodies, it's not going to self-destruct at all. It will just stay there, lingering. Okay?
Yeah.
And that is also grace. Please try to hear me out. That is also good. You have to see the grace in it. You have to be able to see it.
All right, let me see if there are any more questions. Here we go. I think this is a question. It is all very tempting, but how am I to proceed to real... Oh, no, this is not a question. This is, even though it starts with the word question, this is a quote. Lynn, I don't know if you want me to read the quote. It's a Nisargadatta Maharaj quote. Let me know if you wanted me to read that to Ellie or if you were just putting that on the board. Oh, my goodness, I just looked and there are actually hands up, Ellie. We only had 4 minutes left. Do you have time?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, Dances, I will turn the mic over to you. I'm sorry, you all. I had my eyes on Ellie. The mic is yours, Dances. You'll be able to hear her in just a minute, and I'll have to take the mic back before you can answer.
Just really quick. I posted a question in context and about the seeker thing. Trying to shorten my time and I'm making it longer. The seeker thing, the reason I was told that as long as you're a seeker, you'll never be a finder was because I had it in my mind, it never dawned on me that there was anything else except to seek, that I was stuck in this mode that I thought that's what my life's mission was, to always be seeking, and it never dawned on me. I mean, it just never, it seems common sense now, but it never dawned on me that, oh, well, I don't know if I'm making any sense. Anyway, Sharon's hand is up. I'll drop the mic. Thank you very much, everyone.
Okay, let me just see if Ellie has anything she wants to say. Ellie, do you have a response you want to make?
I honestly didn't follow. I didn't know what exactly is that, a question or comment. Did you understand? Maybe you can understand.
Well, I'll tell you.
You just reiterate what you had to say.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she really did state a question, but I'll tell you what came to my mind, and then you confirm this or tell me that I'm incorrect. What came to my mind is that even though the seeker is the homing mechanism, and we've talked about that, when it comes, there comes a certain point where you always say you have to claim it. So at that moment, you have to stop being the seeker and claim it. You have to say, yes, that's it. I found it. And if you never stop being the seeker, then you'll never find it. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. And recognition of that and capturing your identity in that is not easy. Because, again, this seeker has to be mature. Because what you see is like death. It's like empty. If the seeker, if this being, this existing that is functioning as a person, who only sees this as an empty space, it would not jump, it's not going to jump into this. Then why? It's scary. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But if you are, if this ego, if this person in the mind is mature enough in this path, when it recognizes this light, it would completely surrender. Maybe surrender is the right word. Surrenders itself to this light.
Okay.
Try to understand. ego is not a person. It's a thought in the mind.
Yes.
So the thought in the mind is a phrase. See how this is ridiculous. It is. This thought thing in the mind is afraid of this.
Yes.
Space. Because it doesn't trust this space.
Yes. And to say, tell me
the reason it. Yeah, the reason it doesn't trust because it's not mature.
I was going to say, tell me if this says, if this is saying the same thing. Because, you know, it does sound a little confusing to say, you know, the ego is nothing. It's just a thought. The thought is afraid because that makes it seem like something again. So is it possible that just the belief or the interest in the thought generates fear? Is that another way of saying it?
Yes, absolutely. Because the egoic me in the mind wants to protect itself constantly. You know, that's their job. That's the job of the ego, isn't it? Protect itself from the danger and then chase the object, chase the joy and pleasure. That's the job of the ego. When ego sees this as an empty space, okay, it is not mature, it's not going to surrender. Why? Accepting myself as this emptiness, that means I'm dead. Why should I be dying? The ego doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
You see? But if this ego is mature enough, it's is a true seeker, is authentically seeking, once it sees the ultimate, just like this phone I just told you, once it sees that, what does it say? Yes!
That's what I was looking for.
Okay, yes, this is what I was looking for. Nothing else. But if you don't know what you're looking for, if you don't know, even if you see it, even if you see, every moment you see it, moment to moment you're seeing it, why are you not claiming it? Because you're not mature. Your mind, the ego is not mature enough to see this as the ultimate. This is it.
All right.
See what I'm saying? That's why it makes it very difficult. This is not an easy thing for everyone. I'm so surprised that some of these gurus keep saying, oh, this is the birthright for everybody. Everybody come in and pay the donation, sit down and listen to this. No. No. Yes, listening to this, if it makes you feel good, you know, you just have some nice feeling towards the guru and the atmosphere is all people, nice people, you know, that you give a hug to everybody, you know, that's that. But that's not awakening.
Yes.
That's not awakening. You become a satsang junkie.
Yeah, I understand.
That's all you become. Just like you become a heroin junkie.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
At this point, our interview got cut off. Skype quit. Pal Talk quit. My phone started ringing. My dog, as you heard, was already crying. And although Ellie and I tried to reestablish connection in order to wrap up this audio in the normal way, that didn't happen. So I just want to say thank you very much, Ellie, genuinely from the bottom of my heart. You answered my questions perfectly, and I deeply appreciate it. Thank you.